welcome to this joyful place, West Hills Unitarian Universalist Fellowship. And I am the Reverend Tracy Springberry, and it is my complete joy to serve as minister here. There are a lot of people here this morning, so if you're finding it hard to find somewhere to sit, there's please seats downstairs as well if you'd be more comfortable. This morning, we're going to celebrate Water Communion as part of our whole All Ages Together community. And this is the day that we celebrate flowing back into community after we've been disparate places all summer. And this is also a day that we begin to set expectations for the upcoming congregational year. And as part of that, after service, we're going to have a homecoming lunch sponsored by the Committee. I'm so into community this morning. That's what we're celebrating. Committee on Ministry, the Women's Team, and the Social Activities Team. And right after service, you can head down to the RE wing where we're having an RE open house, and you can meet in person our new religious education director, who's right here, and find out all the great plans for RE this year. And then at 12:15, we're having a Come Dream a Dream with Me event for this upcoming year, and people who are invited who are interested in sharing their dreams for the year. So please join the festivities. So this month, our theme is expectations. And I can tell you for sure that this service will be nothing that you expect it to be. So I want you just to sit back and enjoy the differences and the surprises.
A long, long time ago, there lived a very clever, very caring man named Noah. You may have heard his story about the ark and the animals. You probably have some expectations about how this story will go, but there are parts of this story that don't normally get told, so let me fill you in. Noah was a kind man and generous of spirit. He was always offering his gifts to others, always stopped by to say hi, smiled at everyone, took time to get to know strangers, and offered help when it was needed. So it happened that almost everybody knew Noah and got along with him, even when they didn't get along well with others. Noah was a wonderful carpenter and was always building things for people. He had his own dream, though, a crazy dream of building a place where everyone got along. It bothered him how unkind people could be, how unwilling to compromise or to listen. He imagined a place where all kinds of people could come together and share their hopes and sorrows, where people cared instead of competed, where they encouraged instead of argued. Noah's times were not that different from ours. People fought with each other. They were unkind. They were stubborn. Sound a little familiar? Everyone thought they were right, and everyone else was wrong. If only I could build a place where people listened to each other, Noah thought, where people learned from each other, respected each other, despite differences in skin color or how much money they had or where they lived or who they fell in love with. Really, Noah wanted to build a church just like the one we're in today. Noah knew it would be hard to gather a people to create the place he imagined, but he expected the actual building part to go well. He was a very good carpenter, after all. When he went to get the designs, however, he found that the people who had drawn the designs and the people who were going to be the engineers weren't talking to each other. The people who were supposed to sell him the nails weren't talking to the people who were supposed to sell the hammers. And the people who made the floors weren't talking to the people who were supposed to make the ceiling. We won't even get into the walls, because who knows? It was frustrating and discouraging. God, who also liked Noah and watched him a lot, because it's fun to watch someone so genuinely kind, noticed what was happening. It made her very unhappy, too. But just like those people, God was also fighting. In those days, God was a committee. And as a committee, God was often arguing with herself. There was the God of love who thought everybody needed to listen more, be more patient and giving and helpful. There was the God of morality who thought that everyone should behave by the same rules and the same code of conduct. And there was the God of vengeance who wanted to punish people when they did something mean and to spite everyone who couldn't obey. The whole committee of God tried to tell Noah how to handle his impossible situation. But with all the arguing and disagreeing and contradictions, Noah became more confused than ever. So Noah did what he always did when he was confused. He went to talk to his neighbor. She always seemed to have a good head on her shoulders and offered wise counsel. Noah found her outside watering her garden while her family played in the yard. They talked, and even though they couldn't solve the problem, he felt better knowing that he had someone he could talk to. So he went off and thought about what he might do to help everyone else get along a little better.
I'm Kim Transier. This is Don Merrick, Karen Stratton, and Spencer Ehrman. And Betsy Weston is going to be playing with us, too. We're going to be performing intermittently through this. I'm going to do one verse, and then we're going to ask you to all join in on the chorus. The melody of the chorus is the same as the melody of the verse. And I think it will be projected up there when it's... See how it goes.
I am alone and I am searching, hungering for answers in my time. I am balanced on the brink of wisdom. I am impatient to receive a sign. I move forward with senses open. Imperfection, let it be my crime. In humility, I will listen. We're all swimming to the other side. We are living beneath the great big dipper. We are washed by the very same rain. We are swimming in the stream together, some in power and some in pain. We can worship this ground we walk on, cherishing the beings that we live beside. The living spirits will live forever. We're all swimming to the other side.
There came a time when God noticed that a Grateful Dead concert was coming up. This was a long, long time ago, remember, and the Grateful Dead was still playing. And the God of Love said she just had to go check it out. After all, these guys weren't going to be around forever. So she got on her tie-dyed outfit and took the big party bus down to the show. While she was away, the God of Morality and the God of Vengeance got into a discussion. They decided that no one on Earth was really behaving like they ought to, and that they should just wipe out the whole thing and start over. They figured a great flood ought to do the trick. So they decided they would make it rain. 40 days and 40 nights should suffice, they figured. As a courtesy, they called Noah to let him know what they decided. Noah shook his head in disbelief and thought, the worse people acted, the worse God seemed to act, and vice versa. He reminded them that if they wiped out the entire world, there would be no one around to care for creation. The God said they would think about that. Meanwhile, Noah had an idea. He asked if he might be given enough time to build an ark. Just in case. God agreed, and off Noah went. Noah went to see his neighbor. First, they lamented. They shook their heads and waved their arms and complained. Then they thought real hard and pulled out their calculators and crunched some numbers. Then they drew a bunch of pictures. Then Noah hurried down to get a load of materials and began building the biggest, most impressive ark that anyone had ever seen. Actually, that wasn't that hard because at the time, no one had ever actually seen an ark. Noah's neighbor, not being much of a builder, grabbed the kids and took them all down to the Grateful Dead show. Just as it started to rain. It rained and rained, and Noah built and built, because Noah was from Oregon, probably, so the rain didn't bother him. After only a few days with the help of his family, he finished the ark. He put it up on blocks higher than anything else around, so that when the water rose up, it would carry the ark and all of its inhabitants away to safety. And when Noah finally put the last nail in the ark and it was ready to go, he noticed that the water had already started to rise. So off he went to find the animals who would go on it. To any who were reluctant to go, he reminded them that they had better learn to swim and fast. Noah asked everyone to go on the ark. Most people were skeptical. Well, it had been raining hard for days. No one expected that it would rain for 40 days. No one believed that the world would become inhabitable. That was crazy talk. Fortunately, most animals liked Noah, which helped. He talked and cajoled and shared his dreams of building a new world of peace. He managed to get the rhinos on, which was quite a feat since they aren't interested in listening to others. He got the giraffes on board, the ones that always thought they were heads and shoulders above the rest of the crowd. He got the monkeys on, the ones who were rarely helpful because they were always playing. He got the mice to come, who were too timid to say anything. He got the bees on board, who just buzzed everywhere and repeated back everything they heard to whoever would listen. He got the butterflies, who flitted about here and there without a care about anyone else. He got the owl on board, who seemed like he knew the answer to everything, but when it came to doing something about it, always said, "Whoo, me?" Then Noah went to the people and started to collect two of each. Two were parents, two were single, two who liked computers, two who hated computers, two were in school, two were retired, two who liked their new teachers, and two who didn't like their new teachers. That ought to do it, Noah thought, when he had about two of every animal and type of person he could think of. There were just the right mix of animals to create a peaceful community. When the last animal was on the ark, Noah went over to his neighbor. They looked at some plans and shook their heads. Then they hugged, and Noah walked back to get on the ark. Watching all this from above, the god of morality noticed that some of the animals got on board. They looked a little worried and uncertain. Did they have feelings that weren't anger and irritation? Then she thought, just for a moment, that she saw a few of them trying to hold the door open for the animals behind them. Was that an act of kindness? Then she doubted herself. Her plan was to wipe out all creatures because they weren't worthy. But many of the people and animals who were mean and spiteful to each other were doing it just because they were afraid. Maybe they didn't know how to reach out and be friends and be kind. She looked down on the tiny ark and she started to cry. As she cried, it began to rain a little harder. And in a moment of uncertainty, she walked over to the God of Love and leaned against her. The God of Love didn't argue or scold her or fight back or anything. She just pulled her in close and wrapped her arms around her. Just as they closed the hatch of the boat, it really started to rain. The wind came up and tossed the tiny ark. All of the animals got nervous and worried. It was tight and they were claustrophobic. They kept bumping into each other. They couldn't go outside. So they did what came easiest. They began to fight. They argued and pushed and blamed each other. Then out of nowhere, The owl said something that made everyone stop.
"Who?"
said the wise owl. "Who? Who is not here? Who have we forgotten? Who have we left behind? Who is our neighbor?" Silence fell over the ark. The animals started to think. They remembered the people and the animals and the places they had left behind. They started to feel pretty awful. So much they cared about was lost. They remembered Noah asking them to get on the ark and find a better way and figure out how to get along in peace and harmony. They had never done this before. The earth was being wiped out. Animals and people were dying because they never learned how to get along and be kind to all living creatures. They realized they needed to do it right now, that despite their differences, despite their needs, despite how deserving they thought they were, otherwise destruction would be in vain. The world would not change. Each animal and person at that moment considered what they should do. How could they help? How might they make space for each person to flourish instead of pushing and fighting? They realized how important it was that they, right then and there, learned how to get along. Slowly, all the animals began to change. They were not the only ones. God, too, began to change. The God of vengeance realized there was a better way. She renounced her old habits to become more like the God of love. Like those on the ark, God began to look not at what the community owed her, but what she could offer the community.
We come together each year at Water Communion to remember that we are part of a community and bask in that feeling of connection. We are one. Water Communion is also an opportunity to consider what we can offer this community and to consider how we create a congregation that nourishes and transforms us. In our story today, Noah wants to transform lives. By bringing people and animals together in common purpose, he creates the expectation and environment that focuses the people and animals' attention on what matters most, which is for them is learning to live together in peace and love. So what does a church do that wants to transform lives? It means being a congregation that helps those inside and outside our walls heal when they are hurt and find wholeness when they are broken. It means being a congregation where people discover who they are called to be. It means being a place where people find what they need so that they can love and bless the world. Each of us has the power to transform lives. We can bring hope when there has been hurt. We can listen when other people have turned away. We can open doors when doors have slammed shut. And we can share our gifts and our skills and our interests and our passions. Maybe our gift is patience, or listening, or kindness. Maybe it is playing, or singing, or leading worship. Maybe it's putting up chairs and running meetings or throwing a party, like we're having a party this afternoon after church. And maybe it's sharing our perspective on things, or just our way of being with other people. The question I have for you is, what can you do? What helps Woof or the world become a place where we all learn to live more deeply with more care and more love? I just want us to take a moment in silence and consider those questions for ourselves.
the rains finally ended and the boat stopped rocking. The animals sent out a dove to see if there was dry land where they could settle and build a new community based on love. The dove came back with a twig to show she had discovered dry land. "But guys, you've got to see this," she said. Noah and the animals crawled through the hatch. They were stunned. Everything was just as they had left it. Nothing had changed. Noah's neighbor and her children were standing there playing. She was watering the garden. They could hear people bickering. Their houses were still a mess. Their dishes were still undone. After the animals got off the ark, Noah and the neighbor explained to everyone that they had never really gone anywhere. It didn't rain for 40 days. The waters never rose. The ark never left the blocks it had been resting on. For the last 5 weeks, Noah's neighbor and her children took turns rocking the ark back and forth and spraying water from the hose over the top of the ark so they would think they were being carried away in a great flood. It had been sunny most of the time they were inside the ark. It was their plan to put the animals and the people in a small place, telling them that their lives depended upon it, and then hoping they would discover how to get along. It was Noah's last-ditch effort to achieve his dream of a special place where everyone lived in love, even if they were different. And it worked. The people and the animals on the ark did learn to listen and to cooperate and work together. They learned sacrifice, became less selfish, and more helpful. They learned to think that they had what they had to give a community instead of only thinking about what they could get from the community. At first, the inhabitants of the ark got angry. Noah and his neighbor had played a great trick on them. They had suffered because they believed there was a flood. There never really was a plan to wipe out the earth. Noah's neighbor ran into God at the Grateful Dead concert and told her about the plan to make it rain. The God of love made sure it never happened. But it didn't take long for the animals to realize that it wasn't really in vain. The world was still in danger. Not by a flood of water, but by rising temperatures and greed and meanness. They realized whether or not the world would be a place of flourishing or of suffering still really depended on them, on whether they would be able to teach others what they had learned on the ark, how to get along with one another, how to love, how to listen and understand, how to compromise, how to discover new ways where everyone wins and feels welcome. This is what they began to do. They knew that it would take a long time, but they also knew that it was worth it. So from that day forward, this is how they lived their lives, courageously going out of their way to practice kindness and love.
So our last song today is All God's Critters. And there's a couple times when it'd be nice if you just like clapped your hands when we get to the part of the chorus where it says, "Some just clap their hands and paws and anything they got now, but clapping the rest of it doesn't seem to work." And then at the end of one verse, it says, "The old cow just goes, feel free to moo along with me." And same when it says, "The old coyote howls." All right, so this is a song of participation. Sing as much as you know.
All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. And some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got now. Listen to the song, there's a little part where the bullfrog croaks and the hippopotamus moans and groans and a big to-do. The old cow just goes moo. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some the pony neigh. The old coyote, ow! All God's creatures got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing high. Some sing out loud to the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands applause. Listen to the top where the little bird sings on the melody with the high notes ringing. The hoot owl hollers over everything. The jaybird disagrees. All God's critters got a place in the choir. Some sing low and some sing higher. Some sing out loud on the telephone wire. Some just clap their hands or paws or anything they got. Now, one more time. Telephone wire, and some just clap their hands or pause or anything they got now.
If here you have found freedom, take it with you into the world. If you have found comfort, go and share it with others. If you have dreamed dreams, help one another that they may come true. And if you have known love, give some back to a bruised and hurting world.